thanks for coming out, sticking around. So I'm going to be talking about a project that was a subset segment of a project, a larger project in northwestern Washington. We're looking at increasing the overall production of leafy greens. And this is part of a Master's of Science thesis by Charlene Grand, who is a real rock star and did a really great job in this project, and also Dr. Carol Miles, who's here today as well. So we're going to, specifically I'm going to be talking about looking at a comparison between baby leaf lettuce, traditionally grown baby leaf lettuce, with Salanova, which is a brand name, and I'll explain what that is, baby leaf head lettuce, and specifically in northwestern Washington. So a little bit of background, U.S., it's a large industry. You walk into pretty much any supermarket now, and for that matter, corner store, and you can find clamshell baby leaf lettuce. There's a lot of different products, a lot of different names, and they come in a variety of different blends. But the value of it's over $2.5 billion. It's a huge industry, as many of you know. But it's also highly concentrated. 96% of it exists in Arizona and California. And within that subset, 70% of it comes from one county. So it's a highly concentrated industry. And the average cost of production is quite low. It's 90 pounds an acre. And you can see in these two photos, they're not super large, but you get a sense of the scale. This is actually in Arizona. This upper photo is from California. Highly mechanized, highly done with very little human labor input or hands on the plant itself. And a lot of that has to do with economies of scale, but also from a food safety perspective. This is one of the industries that really got hit early on in the sort of the E. coli scare. And since then, the growers innovated and came up with a lot of this production systems. Northwest Washington, you would kind of wonder, why are we trying to, you know, expand the leaf lettuce production industry in there? It's amazing how similar Monterey County is to the area that we work in. Spring and winter are fairly similar in low, high, and average temperatures, but also in precipitation. The exception to that is the fall, where we have considerable amount more precipitation, but also considerably lower temperatures. So the spring is an optimal time also for a lot of our diversified vegetable producers to try to bring in extra income, because the vast majority of their production is occurring in the months of June through September. So one of our goals in this larger project was to try to increase early season income. So that's something to just keep in mind when we're talking about this. And I should mention that the vast majority of the lettuce grown in Washington State is direct marketed. It's sold directly to consumers through CSAs or through farmers markets. We do have several wholesale producers that sell head lettuce, but largely that's not what we'll be talking about today. So a little bit more about these head lettuces that can be sold as leafy lettuce mixes. And there's several trade names out there. We'll be talking about one today. But they average about 2,000 leaves per head, so they're very frilly, as you can see in a lot of in this photo, kind of in the bottom right-hand corner for you guys. And the average leaf length is about 10 to 15 centimeters. So it's very similar in length to what you see in the clamshell store-bought loose leafy greens that you see in the store. They're grown to maturity, as you can see in this photo. This is grown on plastic here in this case. And then the head is fully harvested at the soil level, and then is cored, as you can see here in this photo. And the core, they sell a special core, and you can see the core, this is the core right here. And that's, once that's removed, basically all of the leaves fall off of it. It's actually kind of cool to watch. But the idea is that can then be sold into as a salad mix, okay, very similar to what you see in the clamshells. The cost of seed is about, this gives you a pretty good comparison, about 7 cents per seed, as opposed to you know, almost a very, very small amount for the non-patented leafy greens that you typically can buy from a lot of different seed distributors. So there's a big, you're paying a big difference for that brand name, I guess is what you could say. And that was one of the things that we obviously wanted to investigate. So the companies also claim a higher shelf life, higher yield, better taste, and actually better nutritional content. Of course, we weren't looking at a lot of that, but largely just the production capacity here. But that does not take into account the fact that a lot of those California-style production of high-density leafy greens are cut more than once. So that's something that it's a piece that we wanted to investigate as well. So here's an example. I do want to point out at the end really how unique in my eyes this project was because of the players that were involved in it. Again, we had a couple different funding sources that allowed us to look at different aspects of increasing leafy green production. And one of the key we call him a farmer collaborator, but he's much more than that, is Tom Thornton at Cloud Mountain Farm Center. He's the gentleman kind of pointing off. And this is his farm. And just to give you an idea, this bed here was cut about 9 days ago in this photo. And the one in the middle here was cut about 4 days prior to when the photo was taken. And then this is a bed that's obviously going to be cut. This is a small-scale walk-behind push harvester that's manufactured by the same folks that manufacture the larger-scale self-propelled that you saw earlier. And Tom and I went down and visited with that manufacturer to try to come up with a solution that would work for us on a much smaller scale. So that gives you a sense of quick rebound. Now, the important thing here is good fertility management early on, good weed management early on, and probably most important, at least for us, because we have a very dry summer, is good good water management. You really have to provide a lot of water after cutting. So getting into our objectives of this particular study, again, is to compare the yield of the direct-seeded baby leaf lettuce that a lot of growers around the country, and sort of I'll refer to as maybe the California model, with that of the Salanova salad mix head lettuce that I described earlier. And then to compare that seed cost, is it actually more expensive to go one of these other routes? So let's take a closer look at that. So 8 different cultivars were seeded in the greenhouse. Again, you're creating a transplant of Salanova. Seed was provided by Johnny Seed Company out of Maine. That was transplanted into black plastic in a 3-row bed system, and fertility did differ between the two crops, and that's based on standard practice for each of those crops. And then it was harvested at a diameter as opposed to a height, which we see on the left-hand side with the traditional baby leaf. For the baby leaf, this is again direct seeded. We utilized flashy trout back, which is a romaine type. And it was hand-seeded and could be mechanically seeded as well. 6 rows, so high density. We applied fertilizer at a recommendation. And then we harvested it at a specific height based on kind of the standards of the industry. So data collection, we took a meter that was harvested and from each plot, and then that Salanova had to be cored like I showed you. To kind of release the leaf material from the overall head. And the total markable yield was measured. And each plot was harvested just once. Now, in the data that I'll show you, which is not a whole lot of data, but I'll show you some of it, we extrapolated a reharvest situation. And for the baby leaf, the Salanova was alone, assuming that we could get our first harvest and the preceding second two harvests to every 10 days, which we found to be about standard for that time of year. And then, of course, yield, days to harvest, and the value of the crop and the seed costs were then compared. So I'm going to take a little bit here and go through this. I'll try to use my cursor to kind of highlight things. What we're first, the first column that, or first row that I'd like to highlight here is the yield per portion of bed. In this case, we're looking at about 700. I should first point out there were two across those eight cultivars. There was no significant cultivar interaction, so therefore they were combined. And in addition to that, we had two different seeding dates for the direct seeded lettuce, and there was no significant interaction there. So they were as well combined in average. So what we're looking at is across this cultivar, comparison across those cultivars and across those two different planting dates. Salanova core, we average about a little over 700 grams in that area, in that specified area. And then here is our actual first harvest, and we averaged about 148 grams. And then the cumulative harvest, again, at 10-day intervals thereafter, okay? And we simply just extrapolated based on that first harvest. So we had a cumulative harvest of a little over 440 grams. So you can see that this was highly significant when compared directly to the Salanova. Now, when we looked at days of seeding, days to harvest from seeding, of course, with Salanova with a transplant, it's going to take a little bit longer. And we can see that was averaged out about 75 days. So it's about 2.5 months as compared to the direct seeded baby leaf. And that averaged, the first harvest took place about a little over a month. We extrapolated up to about a 2 month period. Of course, this was much shorter. Now, if we look at days to harvest from field planting, Salanova was again about close to 2 months after that transplant period indoors, and then of course the same time period for our direct seeded, and of course those were significantly different. So we're looking at a big time difference, and this has a practical output for growers because they have to make the decision, particularly early on in the season, if they're trying to get the market. You know, one may be faster, even though, as you will see, one is more profitable. Okay, so that's just something to keep in mind. Now, if we look at the ratio of yield to days to harvest, so basically, what is the gram accumulation per day that it took to get there? We can see that Salanova is significantly higher in some cases. In most cases, by the first harvest, three times quicker to accumulate biomass. Now, that's due in part to the fact that it is transplanted onto black plastic. So that's just a factor to keep in there. Now, let's look at some of the economics of this. And these were extrapolated based on some data from USDA, but also on largely based on that. So our wholesale crop value on a 30 meter bed would have been about $317 for Salanova, whereas even at our cumulative value over our three harvests, our recut values, that averaged just over $200. Now, getting back to that seed cost, remember that was a considerably higher amount cost associated with that Salanova seed, and we can see that even with that seed cost, there is a considerable difference between the two, but the overall value, makes up for it. And I'll kind of lay that out here in a minute. So Salanova, again, in sort of conclusion, had about a 60% higher yield than the traditional baby leaf, even accounting for that reharvest, and this was considerably significant. And even with that additional seed cost, this is really minimal relative to the economic gain resulting from that overall yield. So with that, just kind of where we hope to move forward with this is to look at the performance of these a product like Salanova in extended season under high tunnels, under, more environmental stress. And then secondly, to look at comparison across more leafy green cultivars, because there are a lot of them and they vary a lot, as we've seen in other work. Just one last comment. This project involved a department-based faculty, an extension-based faculty, a graduate student, and a producer. And I think we all felt that we were highly productive as a result of this. And I think in my experience, it was a very unique model in that we really engaged particularly in provided, and leadership was provided by a producer. And I empower all of you to do that as best you can with your local producer. So is there any time for questions?
This is the last talk of the day for this room, so
we can sit here all day, right? Remember the roll bar? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll kick it off. On the price point that you showed, we got from the USDA, was that for organic or just conventional?
It was for organic.
Organic, and what was it, about 50 a pound?
That's a good question. Carol's here. What was the ERS data? Was that based on let me repeat the question.
What was those price points? I'm just curious. What were price points based on?
You're talking about
organic, and I forget what the numbers were.
It was about $1.50 to $1.80 per pound.
Okay.
Yeah, and of course, in our local co-op, it's a lot more than
that. Yeah, I thought it was just sort of true.